2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
That's awesome.
Verifying.
Welcome.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty Show brought to you by You First Credit Union. Remember, their commitment to you is never changing after 65 years. Their name might, but that commitment is not. Find out more at youfirstcu.com. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. I think we need a producer that knows how to start the show off in a better way. He started by calling you Scotty Goddard, and then he played the Hans Olsen from my voicemail, which I'm just trying to pronounce my name.
Hans Olsen.
Those things are dumb anyway because they're like, at the beep, say your name, and you're like, oh, okay, Hans Olsen. That's let me hear yours. I'm calling yours. I want to hear yours.
You're going to like what you hear.
Wait, is yours just... Is yours just the electronic one that's like, because some people don't even, now I'm going to have to just delete my name off of there.
Why?
Yeah, let me know when you.
Why do you want to do that?
I think you're going to be pretty disappointed in what you hear.
All right, send me the voicemail on yours.
A call has been forwarded to an automated voicemail system. 8-0-1-3.
Maybe turn it off.
It's just the number.
that's my number.
It's just the number. I did turn it off.
Not very fast. And
I don't like you playing Hans Olsen when I'm trying to listen to Scotty.
I also do think that I actually was surprised because usually it says the voice message is full and is unable to take new messages.
You must have recently deleted it.
I did delete some because I was actually anticipating a voicemail. And yeah, so I went through and cleaned it up a little bit. But it adds up pretty quick.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I was bummed because I quit on the first half of the Heat-Philly game.
Yep.
And I quit about midway through the third quarter of the Mavericks-Suns game because it looked like the Dallas Mavericks in the third quarter were just like, you know, I think we'll just take this back to Dallas. And then we'll see if we can push a game seven. It really felt like Dallas was disinterested at some point in the third quarter. So I was kind of bummed, Scotty, because, you know, I thought both those games were going to be high-level competitive, and I thought we were going to get some fireworks last night.
Well, now I've flipped back to, oh, these series are over, and then they'll probably go back and win game six, and then we'll see a game seven. I don't know, but it just – the
home courts have been really powerful.
Yeah, and home court – usually means a little bit, but boy, it's really been dialed in on these two series in particular. By the way, we're live here at Homie. We're going to talk to Katie coming up a little bit later on this segment. But all we're asking you to do is go to homie.com, HOMIE.com, and let's save you some money. It's a busy one. We got a lot on the plate for you, so let's get to it. Starting lineup right now here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
That's the back, yeah!
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Starting Lineup here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. All right, so I'm kind of curious to know your opinion on a lot of this stuff. I am all in favor of a player being able to make money off of his name, image, and likeness. I think if you're playing down at BYU and you're, you know, scoring touchdowns against San Diego State and you're setting records against Colorado State for most TFLs in a game and or fumble recoveries and all this stuff, and somebody comes up to you and said, Hans, you know what, man, you're great. You've had a great career. You're going into your senior year. We would like you to endorse our restaurant. We'll give you, you know, $1,000 a month, and we'll also give you $1,000 a month in trade. And I think that you are well within your rights to get all that, and you should get that.
Or if the school comes to you and says, hey, we'd like to sell your jersey number.
Yeah.
Throw your name on it. We'll give you 45% royalties, and our shops and our school will share the other percent.
Every 72 you see at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, just know that you got 45% of that jersey sale.
I wouldn't mind that.
You know, we've got our own production and costs and all that stuff, but we'll give you 45% of that.
EA Sports NCAA comes to me and says, hey, we'll give you $2,000 a year for your image and your likeness to use on our game.
All of that, completely cool, and I'm 100% on board of it, board with all of that. Here's what I have a problem with, and you tell me, we haven't really talked about this. I brought it up on the show earlier in the week on Monday, but I want to get your thoughts. What if a company comes and says to you, hey, look, Hans, we, and they'll probably do it through a football coach or, you know, your dad or somebody like that. And they'll say, hey, look, we're here at the University of Texas, and we've seen Hans Olsen for his first 3 years. He's a hell of a player. We really like him. Just let him know that if he gets into the transfer portal and he comes to the University of Texas, that we'll make sure that he gets $300,000 to come here and play football. And let's say your coach is like, well, what's he endorsing? It doesn't matter. We'll work on that when he gets here. Is it a restaurant? Don't worry about that. Just know that we have, as a collective group, will find a way to get him $300,000 if he gets into the portal and he comes here. Because to me, that's when it gets a little dirty.
It's really dirty.
And that's and not to say that stuff wasn't going on behind the scenes before, but now it's out in the open. It feels really, really slimy and disgusting.
Well, I remember going back to my college days, I remember having conversations with compliance, and compliance is saying, okay, you can't take money for meal from this person and this person. I remember asking the questions of, that's dumb. Why? And the response was always, it's all or it's nothing. Because if you allow a few meals can be loaded into something that is much bigger than just a few meals.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, it's, oh, that's actually a $5,000 piece of steak because that's rare steak. So here's $5,000. We're not going to prepare the steak for you.
We'll give you the money so you can wink, wink, go buy the steak.
Here's the money to go get the steak, and then you can get that set up. So here's the cash. So then when you leave it open to anything, it becomes gray area for something. That something gets really big. Now, when the floodgates were open, you didn't even need gray area. You just get out there and do your work until somebody says, no, can't do that, until somebody stops you. And then when that person gets in front of you, you're like, no, can't do that. You're like, who are you? Let me see your credentials. We're the NCAA. Oh, you're neutered. We don't even care about you anymore. You don't do anything. Get out of our way so we can fulfill our transaction and get this done. Just leave, and we'll put a good product on the field. You shut your mouth. Go work on that basketball tournament. Go do your thing there. So, you know, until a name or somebody steps in front of you with some level of credibility and authority, you don't even care anymore. And there's just not a lot of people out there that carry that kind of cachet anymore. So I don't think that there's a lot you can do about it. I do think, however, there are ways to get around it. I do think that there are going to be some major college football adjustments. I think that we are just a matter of years away from having some type of alliance and some type of committee that essentially takes whatever, you know, 60-some-odd teams, 70-some-odd teams, puts them into this alliance where you're elevating all of your TV contracts, you're making it very lucrative for the school, and then you can start to monitor how players' money is exchanged, how the transfer portal is worked, because inside that alliance, now we're just basically working professional football. That is now the new NFL commissioner, and now we work on a bargained set of rules inside of an alliance. And then you got the outside schools, and they could still work with the NCAA. Maybe they catch on, and they're like, well, we need to build some type of alliance. And so you get these other smaller schools, you know, the Mountain West Conferences, whatever, of the world, and they build this other faction that now settles all these debates, and then you move forward that way. Until that happens, we're just going to see this. It's just going to be crazy. Because nobody has, unless you, am I mistaken, Scotty? Does anybody have the power to say, stop, nope, not working?
Well, the NCAA did try to get involved a little bit earlier in the week, and they said, well, we've got, you know, these collective groups, they're going to count as boosters, so that they can't do that stuff anymore. And I think everybody just kind of rolled their eyes.
Was it rules or was it suggestions?
Well, no,
it felt like they rolled out some guidelines, some suggested guidelines.
Well, no, they just essentially what they said is because the NCAA did put rules in place, but these rules were vague, and all it did was just kind of enhance what was already there. But a lot of people are like, you know what, we're going to lawyer up. You know, I talked to John Hartwell on Monday. He goes, yeah, we're going to do some things, and there's going to be some NCAA's going to try to sink their teeth into this a little bit. And the real winners in all of this are going to be lawyers. These collective groups, like the guy at the University of Miami who's just buying dudes right and left. It's like, you know what? You didn't have any rules in place. I set this up. Now I have a business in place, and now you're trying to take it away from me? I'll sue your pants off. Let's go.
You know, I was talking with a guy that's inside the college athletics world, Scotty, and he suggested to me, he said, you know, we're getting to the point with these athletes. He's like, what if we just simply state if you take an NIL deal, then there's no longer scholarship available for you, and you're just responsible to pay for your college and pay for your dorm and pay for your food and pay for your taxes and pay for your insurance, and the school will provide the platform and the coaching and the facilities. And there will be a worked agreement between the two. If you take a single NIL dollar, then we no longer have to provide a scholarship to you. But the problem is it's, you know, that's like we talk about the UFC needing a players association, you know, something that protects the fighters.
Yeah.
Well, until every fighter says, I'm not fighting until we have an association, and I'm talking every fighter, you know, the guy that's in the streets right now that's doing everything he can to get that UFC contract in, he'll forego a players association in an effort to go fight. You got to stop it all so that you can collectively come together and say, that's how we're going to do it. Until every school says, all right, the second you take an NIL dollar, you can no longer have a scholarship. We don't have to provide a scholarship. You are on the hook for your $60,000 a year enrollment at Stanford or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think it's around $60,000 a year.
Sounds about right.
You're on the hook for this. You're on the hook for that. As soon as there are things that, you know, you want to start to be a grown up. That's the weird thing about college right now. As a football player, you're still not a grown up, but you're being paid like a grown up. In the NFL, I remember getting to the NFL and it was like, oh no, it's all on your own. But here's a lot of money. They do help obviously with healthcare, and there would have to be some type of, you know, healthcare in place, whether they pay a portion of it or these colleges pay the full amount. I don't know. However you want to work it. But you want to be a big boy? Well, then let them be a big boy. And what that will then do is force players to look at boosters like, yeah, well, you're kind of pushing me into muddy water. And if I'm going to take this leap, you got to be willing to back me for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then what happens, Scotty, is I'll bet we would see 92% of college football players take the scholarship, and then 6 or 8%, you got your quarterbacks, maybe a wide receiver or two. You're going to have a running back, maybe a linebacker, who's going to take, you know, the big money. Let's say he gets $300 a year. You're getting $300,000 a year, and you're attending Stanford in a given year, and you're responsible for housing, food, especially in today's economy, enrollment, those types of things. It's going to be expensive for you pretty quick. Now, you'll end up making money, but that's fine. That was your decision.
Yeah.
That's how you wanted to proceed. I just think that we're in such a world of big boy football now with what they've opened up governance to, and I think you got to kind of put it back on the athlete to say, well, how responsible for life do you want to be?
Yeah.
And make a kid make a decision. By the way, that was just a spitballing idea that I was having with a coach that we were just kind of talking about what's going on with all this. By the way, he played about the time I played, and we both would have loved to make the money that these guys are making. We were talking about these camps. I actually sent a tweet out. I retweeted a tweet about these camps that the BYU players are doing, and he and I were going back and forth on how we would have handled our business on these camps. And we would have cleared some money, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about, first of all, we wouldn't have done a shared camp. I wouldn't have let anybody in the door. Oh, we'll organize it. We'll do this. And then we'll give you 25%. Well, I might as well just be an employee. I think I would have just taken whatever name I had. Maybe I grab two other or three other defensive linemen across the board. We name it either by our names or by the, you know, the D-line camp, because you can't use the...
Can't use the school name.
The school name.
Yeah.
And we present it. We limit registration. We take a higher dollar on the kids that are most interested, because I don't want those kids that are sent to a camp for $150 and parents drop them off and they're like...
You're a babysitter.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, well... And the kid shows up and he's 38% fat and you're like, I can't... What are you doing here? What are you doing?
Wearing jeans.
Or he's 100 pounds and he's like, my mom told me I'm going to be a D-lineman. And you're like, oh, and then he's over there swatting at butterflies. Like, I'm not messing with any of that crap. None of it. I would limit registration. I would make it a high-dollar event. I'd make it a four-day event. I would get three or four other defensive linemen, and we would give laser-focused ideas, suggestions, drills, techniques, and all those things to these defensive linemen. But the problem is, Scotty, you're getting people in these college football players' ears that are like, hey, you don't want to mess with all the administrative, and you don't want to mess. And to a college, not a lazy college football player, but a kid that's got school responsibility and he's got his own football and workout responsibility, it's kind of a nice word of, we'll take care of it all. You just show up. But anyways, I would keep the money in my own pocket. I would limit it, and I'd make money. And this guy that I was talking with was like, yeah, there's ways to do it on your own time that you could make a lot of money that way.
And I love that, too, because you're putting in work. That's the kind of name, image, and likeness stuff that should be out there, 100%. That's what guys should be able to profit off of, 1,000%.
That's what was celebrated originally put in place. I'll tell you what I'm finding. I apologize to anybody out there that this might offend. I'm just continuing to gain a disgust and disrespect for these boosters that want to pad these young kids' pockets with money to put them on a field. For what?
Yeah.
What is it?
Especially when they're like high school kids and they haven't done anything yet.
What I understand, a booster that gives money to a university. I hope everybody understands.
Yeah.
You give them money to a university and you're like, hey, build those facilities, get these new outfits, let's look cool as a university. I want my old university to really flash. But when it's like, oh man, I really like this kid, and man, I want to be close to this kid. I want to know him. I want to know his family. I want to be able to go in the locker room or be at the locker room after he comes out and be kind of like an agent to this kid. And like, there's some weird motives out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like I've never bought into that too. Like I understand, look, you know, you go to a university, you have pride in that university, you want that team to do well, and so you give back to that university. That totally makes sense, whether it's an athletic program or the education
totally
department
makes
or whatever.
Sense.
Totally makes sense to
you
me.
You have a love of a place that you went to.
But honestly, if I'm like a 40-year-old dude bro and I want to hang out with a 21-year-old college athlete and whisk him off to Harry Potter land or whatever,
you need to get checked.
That's creepy, man. That's just weird.
You need to get checked.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. It's disgusting. But everybody's got a different way to tick. And yep, some of those boosters may be influenced by the coaches, like, hey, do you know how much we could win if we had so-and-so?
Well, and, that's true.
And maybe that booster's just influenced by, oh, if we get this guy on the team, then we're going to win. Then he butters up the kid, not in an effort to be buddy-buddy with him, but that's to get him on the field to win. It still seems...
But if I'm a big-time booster and I have a coach, you know, I have a member of the coaching staff comes up to me and says, hey, look, I need you to love up this guy. We need to get him here. He's going to be great for us. And I'd be like, look, you know what? I've got my NIL program here. It's great, you know, and we're willing to bring him in. And he's like, no, I need you to really, like, reach out to him and really – I'm like, no, look, I'm doing everything I can. I'm investing in your university, but, look, I'm not being buddy-buddy with this kid. That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm supporting the university, not Joe Schmuckatelli down there. It's not happening.
Yeah. And I do think some of these boosters get a bad name as if they are sitting outside the locker room waiting for the kids to come out. I don't know how many actually want to do that. I don't know how many, you know, I have seen some that's like patrol a sideline and it's like, all right, fella, go take a seat. You didn't play. These kids don't really want to see you. Just give them the money and go take a seat.
Yeah.
Because that's all you're good for as a booster. That's it. You're good for your money.
Yeah.
Nobody else really cares about you.
Yeah.
Unless you provide me a Ferrari, then I'll shake your hand. Maybe I'll come over and teach your kid a couple of hand techniques, and then we'll call it a day.
I mean, honestly, if I'm that booster, like, it almost feels dirty. Like, on my perspective, like, the only reason they like me and the only reason that I'm around here it's because I've got money. That's it.
Yeah.
They don't care about me or my allegiance to this program because I've got a few zeros in my bank account.
Which forces you to double check yourself.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What's the interest? What's the draw to me?
Yeah.
Why does Kalani want to be around me? Or why does Kyle Whittingham want to be around me? Is it really because of me?
Yeah.
Double check all
would
of it.
Would Kalani be my buddy or Kyle or whoever? Would they be my buddy if we just... You know, we're college roommates, and he just wanted to catch up. Or they hanging out with me because I got some money.
Yeah, double check it and see where and see how you want to invest that money. I actually had somebody ask me, what kind of decision is it going to be for you at some point with your son if it gets to this? And I said, my son's a lineman. It'll never be that point, ever. Lineman or lineman. Linemen aren't going to get these spotlights. They're not the ones getting these Ferraris. There might be like 10 in the country that are getting some type of dollar amount from these big boosters pushed around, but it's going to be very rare. I think on defensive or offensive linemen specifically, unless you get this 6'8" mammoth, you know, 350-pound dude that moves like a gazelle that the Texas or Nebraska or Alabama wants. But I think for the most part, offensive linemen – most defensive, especially interior defensive linemen, tight ends, there are going to be some linebackers that will get paid. Linebackers are going to get some money.
Yeah.
But there are positions that I think are just going to be one of 84, you know, one of those scholarships. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And that's how I would explain it to most offensive linemen. Like, don't expect anything. Find the school you want to play for, commit to the school you want to play for, enjoy your scholarship, and if you get a free sandwich on the way, good for you.
Good for you. Yep.
That's great for you. It's these quarterbacks that are going to be spinning.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are going to be spinning, and then some of these specialty guys that are going to get themselves in a situation that they aren't going to particularly like either.
Well, and let's be honest, it wasn't the FBI or whoever that brought down Al Capone, it was the IRS, right? So we are about a, I would say, probably end of 23, maybe early 24. You get a full calendar year of NILs under our belts before you start seeing tax evasion. You start seeing all this stuff come up. Like, it's coming. And the IRS is just licking their chops. They are just sitting back looking at all these collective groups that are forming 501c3s, and they're like, yeah, right. Just wait till we get a hold of your books. We're going to sit back, wait a year. You think you're a charity, but in reality, you're funneling money to college kids and paying them millions of dollars. Yeah, we can't wait to take a look at those books. Oh, and, Joe Schmuckatelli here getting paid $1 million. Let's take a look at those tax returns and let's take a look at all your money. And are you paying every, like, it's, we are, again, it's going to take a year or so, year and a half, couple of years, but you're going to see, well, former starting quarterback for the University of Maryland indicted on tax evasion charges after, not reporting $3 million of income due to NIL endorsements. Like, it's happening, folks.
It's going to catch some people.
Yeah.
Eventually it will. That's a lot of responsibility on a college kid. I think back to my college experience, and it did suck having to call mom and dad. I would imagine I would imagine averaged $300 a month calling mom and dad through my 5 years of college football playing. Maybe $250, $300 a month. Maybe somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Where I'd call and I'd say, Mom, I'm short.
I'm a little short. Uh-huh.
And I'd get a little bit of help from mom and dad as a college football player.
Yeah.
That was on a full ride scholarship. Would I have loved to have been able to be self-sufficient? Would I have loved to have been able to take a little bit of money and invest it? Yeah. I always look at it and think, how much of those freedoms I had, how much of those am I willing to give up? How much is that worth to me? Because those freedoms are beautiful. You didn't even have to know an attorney. You didn't have to know an accountant. You didn't have to know a physician.
Yeah.
None of that. You didn't even know what those things were for the most part. Life just kind of clicked along. And like you mentioned, if you're not dialed in with an agent that is working first and foremost to push your name, image, and likeness, get you out there a little bit, get you in those circles to find the money, then really the money isn't just going to come unless you're, and it's not even a one game type athlete. Like, you've got to have a few games and you got to have a year or two and you got to have some huge performances before anybody's like, maybe I will put money in that kid's account.
Yeah.
That money's not just coming for any reason. Like, you've got to do something. So you're paying agents to try to push your money out or push your name out there. You've got mega responsibilities. I don't know how much I'd... Now, I know that people are out there driving like, yeah, but if you're going to make $500,000 a year, I guarantee you. Yeah, if I'm one of those very few, understand how many thousands of college athletes are out there and how many tens are going to actually get the millions. It's very rare that we're talking about that amount of money.
Yeah. All right, we're live here at Homie. We're talking about money and holding on to your money. Katie's hanging out with us from Homie. And Katie, look, if you've owned a home for years and you've paid your, you've made your renovations, you paid your mortgage, you have equity in that house, you want to hold on to that equity. That's your money. You paid for that. You've earned that. You don't want to be given 6% of that to somebody else. Let's keep it.
Exactly. And we're here to help save money. And we've continued to come up with different ways for us to find solutions to the issues going on in the market. We're seeing a lot of cash offers. We have Homie Cash. You are in a house right now that you love. You have all this equity in, but the house, unfortunately, is no longer meeting your needs. You need a bigger house. You need to downsize. You need to move closer to work, whatever it might be. But you're like, where am I going to go next? We just launched a program a few weeks ago, Buy Before You Sell. So now you can buy a home and know exactly where you're going to go before you sell your current home. And this is a Homie Loans product that's going to help you have that peace of mind when you're going out to find that home. So you buy a home with our cash, and then as soon as we get you into that home, we turn around and we sell your property.
And then move the property.
And
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because selling a vacant property is nice, too.
Exactly. And you mm-hmm. get to, all of a sudden, you don't have to deal with the home tours. You don't have to put your dog away. You don't have to make sure the kids don't...
Well, you don't have to rent.
Make things messy. Yeah. You don't have to rent.
If you have that, exactly. That layover.
There's so many things and so many issues that are coming up in the market because of how crazy this market is. This is a solution that's going to help ease that burden and help you keep that equity in your pocket.
So, Katie, where are we now? We've had a couple of months of these new interest rate hikes. How much is that slowing up the market? How much is that speeding up the market for anybody out there looking to buy or sell?
We're seeing more inventory now, which is great. I mean, generally it's seasonality. We start to see more inventory, but we're also seeing more buyers get under contract. We're seeing houses buyers be able to have less competition, which is great. So it's a great time to buy because we're seeing that inventory. We're seeing less competition.
So it seems like things are shifting towards the buyer a little?
We are seeing a shift in the
market. That's good. That needs to happen.
It does. And it's going to make it easier for you to buy a home, but it's still a good time to sell your home too. There's still people out there looking to buy. So don't fear that you've lost out on that window. It's still a good time to sell, especially if your house is just not meeting your needs.
Go to homey.com. There's so many great things that they can do for you. Homey.com. And again, we'll talk about it throughout the show today. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined by Dan Feldman, NBA writer for NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk. You wouldn't be making major changes if you were Ainge. You would be tweaking this roster, not making major moves.
That would be the ideal if Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have really, truly decided one or the other that they can't play with each other. Obviously, you got to go from there. I'm also a believer that sometimes people think that and can reconcile. I'm open to trading either. You know, if there's a team that just thinks Rudy Gobert is the missing piece and is going to send me some great assets that can be helpful for winning around Donovan Mitchell, I'm open to that, and vice versa. I think the odds of getting a return for Donovan Mitchell that are going to justify trading him are very low. It's just so hard to get two stars like that. I wouldn't want to give up on it, but I'd be open to dealing them.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You ever realize that Lloyd only tells you what time it is when we're off clock?
Yeah.
Like if it was like the normal start time for a second segment, he would not bring it up.
No.
No, that's 100% true. But if it's 12:38 instead of 12:30, like, it's 12:38, morons. Yeah. You're back.
People don't get to hear the interactions we have with our producer through our headsets.
Oh, they will
Lloyd
soon, though.
Lloyd loves to emphasize the clock when we're off.
You know that, like, ESPN does that megacast with, a bunch of people sitting around watching a broadcast, you know, for the big games. I think our next iteration is the megacast of the Hans and Scotty show, where you actually hear what Lloyd says in our ears. And then you'll come away from that like, wow, Lloyd's kind of a jerk.
Then you'll understand why Scotty and I
sit here. I highly doubt that you'll come away thinking, wow, those guys really don't listen at all, do they? Man, I feel bad for Lloyd.
No, I don't think they'll think that.
Did you say something, Lloyd? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, see?
I don't think they'll think that.
By the way, Hans and Scotty show brought to you by You First Credit Union. For over 65 years, they've been part of your community. And while their name is changing, their commitment to you is not. Find out more at youfirstcu.com. All right, so I want to, like, there's a lot. Even DJ did this morning. And I'm a little upset with David James because I love DJ. I've known him forever. And David's as good as anybody in this market. But DJ, even DJ stooped to this, which is a little disconcerting because DJ should know better. He and many others have tweeted out, discussed the Bet Online Pac-12 gambling odds. And he says, USC, the favorite, at 2-1, followed by Oregon, 11-5, Utah, 5-1, Arizona State, UCLA, both 17-2. Why isn't Utah the heavy favorite? Okay, no, we can't troll over gambling lines. All right? This is not – you got to understand that Vegas doesn't care who wins the Pac-12. They have no skin in this game whatsoever. This isn't – and Ute fans just fired up. This is another sign of disrespect. Shut up. No, it's not. Now, your disrespect is going to come, and it's going to come near the end of July when Pac-12 Media Day happens, and then all the talking heads will buy into the Lincoln-Riley conversation.
Well, we'll see if they do. I think Utah's got enough cachet. They might not. The Pac-12 Media Day is going to be interesting this year.
I sure hope so, because that's the smart thing to do.
But it's never happened that way.
But if USC does get picked to finish first, then you can complain about disrespect and get upset. Vegas, this is completely different. These are gambling odds. Everybody needs to take a step back. This isn't – nobody's trolling you. Nobody's – this isn't Vegas. Oh, hey, what can we do to get under Utah fan skin? Oh, hey, Lincoln Riley, let's load up on USC. All Vegas wants to do is get their 10%. They want the money to be as even as possible. They want it 50-50 right down the line. They like to win. They don't even mind if they lose, but they want their 10% vig. That's what they're looking for. Yeah. That's how they build all those casinos, and they need that money to be even. The problem is, if you're a Utah fan and you're upset by this, this is a you problem. This means you haven't bet enough on your team, because USC, with Lincoln Riley and with what they've been able to do, they got money on them right now because they've got a lot of degenerate fans out there that are putting money on USC. They anticipate that. That's why they set the line
that pushes
at
the
2-1.
Mm-hmm.
If Utah fans would pony up and make some trips to Wendover and win, and do Vegas,
much like Utah State fans have, by the way.
Like Utah State fans have done.
Yes, they have. They've ripped the line.
So if you're upset with this, this is more on you, because Vegas just tries to keep the money even.
There are still people out there that think that Don Corleone and Nicky the Bull are sitting around in Vegas like, hey, that Cam Rising, I don't think he's got it. I don't think he's got it. Pretty sure.
1 year wonder.
Utah's not looking so hot. I think they're a 5-1. What do you say? Don Corleone's like, yeah, I think we maybe ought to just handicap him a bit.
And you tell him if he doesn't pay me my money,
I can't do it.
He's going to get the bull get the horns. He's going to get the horns, okay?
Nicky's like, that Lincoln Riley, he's going to have an accident. That's not how this is working.
Somebody's going to show up with a lead pipe to Utah practice.
An attack hammer. That's not how this works.
Hey, Cam, I think you're going to be DMP the first three games.
You've got guys sitting around a table that are like, how are we going to make money? Oh, well, we know who the real degenerates are. Let's make it really a pretty look for these people to come out and put their money out there. That's what it is.
That's all it is. That is all it is, folks.
I do think Pac-12 Media Day, Scotty, I have a feeling Utah's going to be picked to win this.
Well, they should, and I hope so.
I think they will. What has it been, like 4 years running that USC has been picked to win the South? And it's like,
you can only get burned so many times.
Yeah.
But it would be ridiculous if USC is picked to finish, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're picked to finish first.
Well, Vegas definitely doesn't go by those rules.
No, look, these dudes are way smarter than all of us, and they know how to push your buttons.
Yeah.
That's all they do. They're trying to push your buttons. Don't read into it. Don't get angry about it. In fact, if I'm a Utah fan, you run down to Vegas, you run down to Mesquite, and you throw some money on your Utes on 5-1, and then come January, you enjoy that money you just made. Because that, if it's so-called disrespect, then you can take that disrespect right to the bank.
Yeah. Was that for a Pac-12 championship?
Pac-12 championship.
Or was that just South?
No, Pac-12 championship.
Okay. Well, there's still a good chance. I think Utah's right in the running on that thing.
Honestly, if they don't, it's a massive disappointment.
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
When we come around to Pac-12 Media Day, I don't know if they'll be picked to win the Pac-12 championship, but I do think they'll be picked to win the Pac-12 South. I just haven't looked enough at the North. I always feel like I know a lot more about the South than I know about the North. Maybe it's just because it's the division that Utah works in, or maybe it's because I just have a better understanding of Arizona State, USC, Arizona, and Colorado. Might come down to those things, but I think that Utah should absolutely win the South, And as I just do kind of a brief overview, Utah should win the Pac-12. I don't see anybody that stands out as a bigger favorite. You know, there's going to be some teams that maybe push the tempo a little bit, but yeah, I would say to Utah fans, if you really want to make the move on this, you really want to make the change, get Vegas to recognize you as the best odds, then go put your money on it.
There you go. You want to move that line, you want a little bit more disrespect, then spend some more money on your team. That's a you problem right there.
That's all it takes.
Hans and Scotty, coming up next, what you may miss straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
And I don't know what it is. I mean, but Donovan, he's not a complete player. And Rudy Gobert, like what Shaquille O'Neal is saying, is accurate. There is no offense from Rudy Gobert by himself. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying...
Not trying to be mean.
Not trying to be mean or mean-spirited. I'm just saying this is what I see. And what you see is also the results that you've gotten. They play hard. They try hard. They're a good team. They're probably a team that maybe gets the best of what they have.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We're 1 minute off. It's supposed to be at 12:50.
It'd have to be a special case. You just mentioned one of them that got knocked. They didn't knock out of the park. And Kalani was a knock out of the park.
Yeah. In theory, if I, as a general sense, I would not hire a defensive coordinator as my head coach. And I know, like, BYU, like, what's wrong with Kalani? Nothing's wrong with Kalani. What's wrong with Kyle? Nothing's wrong with Kyle. Although I will say Kyle has been micromanage that offense for a long time that I think has stunted the development of the offense for a lot of years at the University of Utah. And that's my opinion. I think they could have done more. Now, they've been spectacular on special teams and defense, but I think they could have been a little bit better offensively had they been willing to open things up a bit more.
And Andy Ludwig feels like he's got a little bit more pull.
Yes.
And a little bit more say, even though we still see it's a very heavy run style.
And so, again, I'm looking at more of a general sense. Offensive coordinators, and I had a coach tell me this once, offensive coordinators are usually, when you hire them as a head coach, they're really enamored with the offense, and they tell the defense guys to go, just go do your thing and get me stops. Mm-hmm. Defensive coordinators, and again, this is a broad brush I'm painting with, become head coaches, and they're all about their defense, but they also want to meander into those offensive meetings and say, the guy goes, hey, look, I think we throw this thing 40 times. And he's like, no, you're not doing that. You're gonna throw it 18 times, and you're going to run it 30 times.
Because my defense needs to be healthy and
exactly
and fresh. And yeah.
And again, I know I'm painting with some broad brushes.
There's a system offensively that is very conducive to good defense.
Yes.
Offensive minds are like, hey, we're just going to go out there. If our drive ends in two, then defense needs to go get us the ball. If our drive ends in 20 and it's score, then we're happy we got the score. Yeah.
And I've been told that that's not just my opinion. I've been told that by a few people that go out there and hire and some of the conversations that they have.
The reason that we're talking about this during the break, Lloyd was asking a little bit about Bo Nix and Oregon. And I told Lloyd, I don't know how much I trust Dan Lanning. And Scotty, you brought up a good point. There were a lot of defenders drafted off that team.
Yeah. And so he's getting credit for this Georgia defense, which he should get credit. But also, you look, he had like five or six first and second round picks from that Georgia defense in the NFL draft. Like,
those are really good athletes.
And he should get credit for their development and the scheme to make them shine. But honestly, you're a pretty good coach when you got horses like that.
Well, remember, when it comes down to big-time draft picks like that, okay, so film is really important and technique is really important, but you got to have the measurables.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning isn't out there teaching somebody how to be a linebacker how to be 6'2",
yes.
6'3", 245 pounds, and run a 4.48. And he's got those dogs. And those dogs are getting drafted. And those dogs played some big boy football for that Georgia defense.
All right, to be exact, that Georgia defense had 5 first-round picks on it.
First round?
First round only. So you had the, let's see here, you had the number one overall pick in Trayvon Walker. You had the number 13th overall pick in Jordan Davis. You had the number 22 overall pick in Quay Walker. And then you had the number 28 overall pick in Devontae Wyatt and the number 32 overall pick in Lewis Klein.
All in the first round.
All in the first round. 5 first-round players on that defense.
I just felt like Oregon fell flat on their face with the hiring. Now, Dan Lanning might prove me wrong, may make me look completely idiotic. But when you've got a guy the caliber of Kalani Sitake sitting in an office, if that did happen, I don't know if Kalani admitted to it or I don't know if it was just a report out there. But if you did have an opportunity and you could have put money in front of him, a guy that has built himself now into a head coach, has had great success, has the defensive coordinating background that obviously you were looking for, but is also a minority that can really put his fingers into recruiting and recruiting at a high level, Oregon fell flat on their face. And so I don't have any confidence that Oregon – will be a Pac-12 contender. I think that Oregon is going to be a Pac-12 North contender, but I can't look at them and say, oh, this is going to be the team to beat. I don't even know what Dan Lanning's going to be like in his first year as a head coach. He doesn't have any head coaching experience, if I remember.
I don't believe so.
Because I remember looking at it when they originally made the hire. So, no, he's, let's see, GA, running coach, GA, inside linebackers, outside linebackers, outside linebackers. He has never had a head coaching job.
In fact, he hasn't even been a position coach at an FBS school until 2016.
He wasn't even a head coach at the high school level.
No.
Started at Park Hill South High School in Missouri.
Special teams, defensive back, wide receiver coach from 2008 to 2010. That's not that long ago, folks.
That's what I'm saying.
In 12 years, he goes from a position coach at high school to the head coach at Oregon.
Yeah, and in the meantime, he's got 5 of those years being a GA. Oh, wait, 4 of those years being a GA.
Yeah.
GA at Pittsburgh.
/ recruiting coordinator.
Arizona State, Alabama. I mean, he's been around some good programs, and he's had some great talent to work with, but 3 years being a D coordinator at Georgia and then going to a head coach, I don't know. Maybe Oregon saw something in him that we don't know.
How about that? In 6 years, he went from recruiting coordinator, or excuse me, from a GA to the head coach at Oregon.
The GA at Alabama?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, GA at Alabama.
Yeah.
And then 6 years later, he's the head coach at Oregon.
Without being a head coach, with only being a coordinator for a few of those years.
2 years.
That's just, it's mind-boggling to me. And that's what Oregon, one of the most powerful universities in the country, that's the pool that they pull from? If I'm an Oregon fan, I'm out of my mind. I'm ticked.
And by the way, he signed a 6-year, $30 million contract.
Oh, man. Well.
Dude's only 36 years old. That's another thing to make you feel good about what you're doing in your life.
Believe me, I'm glad when I say they fell on their face when they didn't hire Kalani Sitake. I'm glad that they didn't because I want Kalani in this state and at that university for as long as they could possibly keep him, as long as they could keep their fingers sunk into him. But Oregon done messed up. I don't think it's going to work out well for him. In fact, I'm going to put my prediction down here.
I'll say 2 years. They'll give him this year and next year.
okay, I've got at the bottom of our dock, I've got all these long-term predictions, which, by the way, I'm still working on this. Blake Freeland will be drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Okay, here it is. I'm going to put Dan Lanning over under 2.5 years at Oregon.
Under.
Lloyd?
Under. They're not even going to win the South this year, or the North this year.
I love to see Oregon struggle. So,
well, I mean,
all three of us are going under.
Who was the dude that had him in a national championship game, and then a year later, two years later, he got fired?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, Helfrich.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Helfrich was there. You know, had the Marcus Mariota run, got him in a national championship game, and then
that's right.
And then 2 years later, he's like, no, you're not getting it done. You're out. This guy's never been a head coach in his life.
If I went 1.5,
I would take the over. I don't think we're even Oregon. That's pretty gutsy to fire a guy after 1 year.
That's never been a head coach.
Yeah,
it'll be 2.5.
This dude must have just blown those dudes away.
He won't live out his contract.
In an interview, man. I don't know how he handled himself, but.
Really quick, the other thing I wanted to mention and what you may have missed. For those of you that did not see it, Nikola Jokic is going to be receiving his second league MVP award, giving back-to-back MVP awards to Nikola, and giving Ben Anderson said, the last four MVPs to a non-American born and developed player? Because Giannis had it 2 years in a row, correct?
Correct.
So 4 years in a row.
You upset with it?
No.
Boy, there's a lot of people angry about it. Ooh, boy.
That Nikola Jokic is MVP?
Yeah.
Why?
A lot of people. Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, they were the sixth seed in the West.
Yeah.
And so based on win-loss, and then a lot of other people believe that it's the analytic nerds are taking over and that he's not really helping his team win as much as they should. I have no problem with it. It doesn't bother me, but ooh, there's a lot of hate he's getting this year.
I bet he wouldn't even made the playoffs. Good team. They wouldn't have made the playoffs without him.
I'm not saying – yeah, they would. Yeah, they wouldn't even get a whiff. And, you know, he carried it along with Murray and Porter out. He did everything he could. You just know me. I'm a huge fan of Nikola Jokic. I like his game. I think he's tough. I think he gets nasty when things get pushed. When people push, he pushes a little bit harder. I like those things about him. Doesn't take games off. But I would be involved in every argument. Oh, and by the way, the other thing I think I saw from Ben was this is the first time that all three – so you had Joel Embiid of Cameroon – you have Giannis of Greece, and you've got Nikola Jokic of Serbia. It was the first time that all three of your top three MVP contenders were non-American born.
I think it's a pretty easy argument to make in terms of if you want it, if you really want to take a closer look at this, the Nuggets are better with Jokic on the court than Milwaukee is with Giannis on the court, and Philadelphia is with Embiid on the court, statistically. And so you can't use the win-loss argument against Jokic just because when he's off the court, his surrounding cast is not as good as Giannis has and Joel Embiid is. To me, that's your bottom line right there. And plus, he's better than everybody else statistically. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I know there's a lot of people angry about it, but
if I was going to give it to another guy, Joel Embiid would have been right there.
Yeah.
Because I do like the fact that Joel Embiid is willing to play on both sides of the court. At least that's the feel I get when I watch him. Love his energy and hustle on both sides. It feels like he treats the defensive side like he treats the offensive side. I don't always feel that way about Nikola Jokic. Nikola loves to get loves to get his team in different sets. I think he's more universal as an offensive player than Joel Embiid, but I think that Joel Embiid is more universal as a basketball player.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, Katie's hanging out with us. We're live here at Homey. All you have to do is go to homey.com for some great information. And Katie, really, I know you've turned the world of real estate upside down. And whatever an agent can do, a traditional agent, there's nothing that you guys can't do as well. In fact, can't do it and better and save people more money.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big misconception out there that we aren't agents, that we're just an app or that we're just an electronic, you know, computer behind the screen. But we are agents. We have our licenses, and we just are a bunch of agents that really do feel like we can do it cheaper and better and make it a simple process for you. We're trying to make sure that we keep the equity where it belongs, in your pocket. And if you sell with us, we're you know, doing a flat fee. And so instead of that 3% that you would generally pay to your listing agent, when you buy with us, we give back up to half of that buyer agent commission. So when you're buying with us, you're saving money too. When you're getting a loan, you're saving money on fees. Just by using Homey Loans, you can make sure that you get a great rate and save money on the fees. And when you use Homey Title, you save money on fees. When you use Homey Insurance, you save money. Mm-hmm. So anything that we're doing, we make it a simple, smooth process and save you money.
Are you having success with this Buy First platform?
The Buy Before You Sell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that launched on May 2nd. So we're 11 days into it. And so far, we've had two of our buyers go under contract and going through the process. And it's great to see them get the home of their dreams and not have to worry about being outbid.
So this does a lot of things for you. If you can buy first, it does a lot of things to help you. Number one, it can make you an aggressive buyer. You don't have to think, oh, man, but then we're going to have to prep the home. We've got to do all these things. You can literally buy, move out, and then you can sell, which is really nice.
Yeah, and the great thing is you're buying with Homey Loans cash. And so that means that it's a cash offer, which means you can close in as little as 10 days. You can get into that new home, get everything moved in, get your home ready, cleaned, and ready to sell. And you're not having to worry about, you know, are we going to be able to have it clean mm-hmm. for tours? Are we going to be able to have to get the dog somewhere? Are we going to, like, you have so much more, like, the simplicity of it all is a lot easier.
It's great for people that are looking to downsize, too.
Exactly.
Like, if you're looking to downsize and you've got this big home that's worth millions of dollars and you want to get out of it so you can repair it, get it all set up and ready to sell, that's a great way to go about things. I love that. So that's just a few days old then.
Yeah, so we launched this on May 2nd in Utah and Colorado, and we're getting ready to launch it in Idaho next week.
Good.
And we're hoping to get to Arizona and Nevada really quickly after that. But we're excited to be able to offer yet another solution to problems that we're seeing in the market, just to make this market a simpler process for you.
Go to homey.com right now. That's Homie.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.